didn't bring my hard Bible. I was just going to use my phone. I was like, I really need to get a hard Bible. So I asked Josh, and that was my mistake, because he's like way less than half my age, and he has the fine print. And I was like, darn it, I blew that. I should have asked somebody closer to my age, because, I mean, really? I don't know how people could read that. But before we open up the Word of God this morning, I just want to express our gratitude on behalf of all of us at Rancho Freedom. And I want to encourage you and edify you and let you know that there is no other church that we are in a relationship that has been supporting the ministry of Rancho 3M as long as you guys have. We've been going through the numbers last night, and it seems to be over 40 years. You guys are also the largest giving for the longest period of time. Church, which is... And so everyone knows the name Tonkawa Church, and we're just really, really grateful. We want you to know that you guys are making a very real, very tangible difference in the lives of many fatherless children throughout the years. Many. I could go on the rest of this morning and tell you kids that grew up at the ranch that the Lord saved, that are now working in ministry, whether it's part-time or full-time, or elders in the church, or raising their family in, you know, for Christ, or bringing Christ to the workplace. There are tons of them. And as well as at our school, we have a Christian school now, and tons of parents as well as children have gotten saved throughout the year. So I hope that's edifying to you, because really, that's like the closest one to you guys would be a church in Hillsboro that have a relationship for like 22 years, and then my church that has like 19 years, and you guys are like 40. So it's really impressive, and I thank God for you in all seriousness. So this morning, I'd like to open up the Word of God together with us. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Psalm 68:5, and we are going to explore God's heart for the widow and the orphan. I know this is probably a common passage for most of you, but I've been praying that the Lord would use me and speak through me to reveal his heart in a deeper way so that we will have an even better understanding of our Lord that we serve. So let's read this together. Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. All right, you guys, now I'd like to show you a photograph of God in his holy habitation. So I don't want you to turn there. I'm going to read to you out of Revelations, okay? We're going to take a glimpse in the throne room of God just to put this in perspective for us. This message really ministered to me as I daily work in orphan care. And I would like to read this fine print Bible if I can. Does anybody have a real Bible? No. Or a bigger print Bible? Do you have a big print? All right.
You want it?
Can I borrow it to Revelation 4?
It opens up to the map. It's pretty easy.
Oh, good. Oh, now that's... Just kidding, Pastor. Oh, yeah. This one's bigger. Yes, I started wearing trifocals. No offense, I'm just playing. So let me start over this. Okay, just listen tight. Don't read it. But Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. Now, you guys, just listen. You can close your eyes if you want, but I want you to listen to this. We're looking at a photograph. And instantly, I was in the Spirit, and I saw a throne in heaven and someone sitting on it. The one sitting on the throne was as brilliant as gemstones, like jasper and carnelian. And the glow of an emerald circled his throne like a rainbow. 24 elders surrounded him, and 24 elders sat. No, excuse me, 24 thrones surrounded him, and 24 elders sat on them. And they were clothed in white and had gold crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumbles of thunder. And in front of the throne were seven torches with seven burning flames. This is the sevenfold Spirit of God. In front of the throne was a shiny sea of glass sparkling like crystal. And in the center and around the throne were four living beings, each covered with eyes front and back. The first of these living beings was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a human face. And the fourth was like an angel in flight. Each of these living beings had six wings, and their wings were covered all over with eyes, inside and out. Day after day and night after night, they kept on saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I beg of you this morning that you would help me to communicate more deeply your heart. God, this is something that's important to you, special to you. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege that we could come together and learn more about you. God, what a privilege that is. So, Father, I pray this morning that you'll prepare our hearts, each and every one of us, God, to get a deeper understanding of you. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. All right, you guys, we could see all through the Bible, right? Anybody that has read the Bible all the way through will agree that God has a real special place in his heart for the widow, the orphan, as well as the sojourner, the stranger. And so it got me thinking, what do these folks have in common, right? I recently got back from Guatemala as a stranger in a foreign land, and, you know, it really hit home. I look at the children of the ranch. I look at friends of ours that are widows. And a few things that they have in common is, one, they're all vulnerable, especially the orphan. Very vulnerable to being exploited, vulnerable from abuse. And that's why those kids that you saw this morning are at the ranch. There's been incredible amounts of abuse, neglect, abandonment. So number one, they're vulnerable. And two, they need assistance. They don't have someone supplying, you know, necessarily their needs or caring for them. So I find that to be very interesting, that group that God has that is so vulnerable and so in need, that God has a very special place in his heart for them. And that, to me, makes me realize, okay, I need to pay attention. If this is something that, you know, has a special place in God's heart, I personally want to pay attention and learn more about this. We've also learned, being in, you know, ministry and orphan care for almost 20 years, that the Lord receives glory when he cares for the widow, the orphan, and the sojourner. And the cool thing is that he uses folks like you, like me, to fulfill his promises that he made to them, like providing for them, protecting them, showing them mercy, and giving them justice. And so the next part is I'd like to just do a little comparison real quick between what man's heart can look like toward the widow and the orphan, and more importantly, what God's heart looks like towards the widow and the orphan. So we'll start with man. It's quite obvious, quite clear in the Word of God in Jeremiah 17:9. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Right? Jesus even warns the people in a couple of the Gospels. He warns them about the scribes who are devouring widows' homes. Okay? Again, vulnerable, in need of assistance. And when we moved to the ranch, you guys, I'm telling you, there we learned about a new level of sin that we never knew existed, right? I can't remember how old we were, but we saw things and heard stories from the children of things that they'd experienced that just put a whole new level on sin. And I'll give you Hareth as an example. There was a little boy, you saw him, the guy that recently got saved. He was in the kitchen, and he was 3 years old, and his mother is a drug user, was a drug user, and a prostitute, and she would work out of a bar, and she would leave Hareth at the house to fend for himself. So he would eat what he can. Many times he'd get food out of the trash. And he did that even for up to a year after coming to the ranch. And a neighbor complained, and so she started taking him to work with her. Okay, go figure that. Somebody else complained at the bar and suggested you should really take him to Rancho 3M. And she did without hesitation. So he came to us as a young child, and he heard the gospel of Jesus Christ regularly. He was actually very close with my wife, or was close with my wife and my boys. And not too long ago, as long as that was, he has repented of his sins and believed in Jesus Christ as his Father. Now, his Father is the Father of fathers, right? The King of all the kings. And there's another, I'm telling these stories so that you guys get a grip on man's heart, like what his mom was thinking to do that. That's a new level of selfishness that we don't always see every day. We have another boy, Alfredo. He was shown in the video as well, and he was diagnosed with leukemia as a young boy. And again, his parents, he has a mom and a dad. They're not sure if it was a dad, but a mom. And they were drug users and didn't want to take care of him. They thought, well, he's just going to die. Why should we spend all this money? And so they went to a judge, and they signed off complete custody to a woman who they thought was the grandmother, but they weren't 100% sure. And to this day, we don't know. But she accepted him and brought him through chemo and all this stuff, and just was exhausted, couldn't do it anymore, and brought him to us. But to see that callousness is just gives you a glimpse at the wickedness of the heart of some men. And now I'd like to get a summary looking at God. How does God feel about the widow and the orphan? We know what man can look like towards them, but how does God feel about them? So we look at Hosea 14, 3b. It says, in God, the orphan finds mercy. In Deuteronomy 10, 18, it says, he executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the sojourner, giving them food and clothing. This is just one of the scriptures also that talks about him providing for the widow and the orphan. And there are various number of scriptures about how he provides for them, and that's something we've we've been really blessed to see of how the Lord provides many, many times, very unexpectedly provides for his children. And I'll just give you two small examples. There's this little girl. She was also in the video. She's the one sticking her tongue up, gave me a side hug. Emily was coming to me and my wife and saying, hey, I really can't see well. And I can't read. I can't see this. And I understood, because being somebody that wears glasses, I was like, okay, let's pray about it. Because it's not like we could just drive to the optometrist real quick, because we got to rearrange staff and, you know, stuff like that. So it's kind of an ordeal. And I'm telling you guys, less than a week after she said that, an optometrist came. He wasn't invited. He was, I mean, totally unexpected. And he said, look, I'm an optometrist in Juarez, and God put it on my heart to come out here and test the children for glasses. And he had glasses with him with various, what do you call them, various lenses. I was like, oh, God. And like I told some folks last night, I was so convicted. I have three boys. We have three boys ourselves, and they're all in college right now. And so two of them are freshmen, one's a senior, and I was really anxious about that. Like, I was very concerned about our finances. I mean, missionaries don't make much in the first place. How am I going to have three boys in college at once? And I was losing sleep about it, okay, I'll be honest. And the Lord just convicted me like crazy. And I really sensed him tell me in my heart, haven't you seen me care for all these children for decades? And you're questioning me now? You know? I'm like, God, I'm so sorry. But the cool thing is, after I did repent, he put people in my path to help me, like somebody review my fast so I didn't find a mistake I made, etc., etc. That was beside the story. But I have seen him just provide time and time again. I remember one time, two of these little boys saw, you know, at the Christian bookstore, they have the armor of God, that gray plastic thing with the, have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't know how, but two of our boys saw that, and they're like, oh, I want one of those. I got, oh, that would be so cool. Nine, 10 days later, no joke, without asking, right, somebody donated three of them, you know. And another time, here's a really cool one. There's a girl, a woman in New Orleans, Louisiana. She was cleaning out her closet, and she sent, you know, those little memory type devices you put in electronics, those little cards. Well, these are like two of the older fashioned kind. And so she sent it in a letter, and she said, thought you might want these, you know, Sherry. I'm like, okay, that's pretty random. Thanks. You know? I mean, really. So my wife, I gave it to my wife, right? She put it in a drawer, and about a month later, there's a knock at the door, and it was Christian, our oldest boy, and he got this electronic device, and he said, by the way, do you have the such and such card? And my wife was like, you know, I mean, they probably don't even sell these things anymore. They're so outdated. And she goes, actually, I do, you know. And so anyway, again, I could spend the rest of the morning telling you how God provides for his children. He is their helper in Psalms 10:14. He upholds them in Psalm 146:9. He is their strong redeemer and will plead their cause in Proverbs 23:11. And the verse that we are unpacking today says that he is their father, the father, in Psalm 68:5. And of course, you guys, we know fathers provide, we protect, we nurture, care for, love our children. And that's what God does for the widow and the orphan. So that's a little on how God feels about the widow and the orphan, but He doesn't stop there. He goes on and commands us how we're to treat him. Okay, this is, he doesn't just share, oh yeah, this is how I feel about him. He tells us, this is how I want them treated, right? In Deuteronomy 24:19-21, he says, leave something in your fields and olive trees for them, that the Lord may bless you in all the work of your hands. Okay, I'm going to read that again. Leave something in your fields and olive trees for them, that the Lord may bless you in all the work of your hand. You guys, again, over and over, I can share with you how many times people have told me, when I thank them for coming, it's like, no, Dean, thank you. I'm the one that's leading blessed. I came with the intention of, oh, come help these poor little kids. You know, I'm the one leading blessed. We have a friend of ours. They live in Albuquerque. He's a doctor. They have three little kids. And he made a commitment a while back to the ranch. He's like, okay, I'm going to give you my entire tax return, no matter what it is, every year. And I have seen it year after year grow. And again, it's the scripture coming to life, right? And I know some of you can come up here, because I heard a couple of the stories last night. Some of you guys can come up here, share how you have blessed widows or orphans and how God has blessed you, right? So it's neat to hear him actually say that. What's required of us is the faith, right? To believe that, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. In Isaiah 1:17, we are to bring justice to them. And in Deuteronomy 24, I just read that, we're to bring the tithe at the end of every third year to them. Okay, so he tells us how he feels about them. He tells us how we're to treat them. And he tells us now what not to do to them. Okay, which is, I think, pretty cool. In Jeremiah, Job, and other verses, it tells us that it's evil to do wrong to them and that we're not to oppress them. Right? God will be a swift witness against those who oppress them. In Malachi 3:5 we read. And we are not to pervert the justice due to them in Deuteronomy 24. My favorite is this one. And why is it my favorite? Because it really shows, I think, the heart of God. Let me read it to you in Exodus 22:22-24. I'll read it in here. You shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. If you do mistreat them and they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath will burn, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall become widows, and your children fatherless. Right? Wow. And that highlights another point that we've learned about God serving in ministry for 20 years, and that is God's extreme, you guys. We have seen him extremely bless people who have blessed the children. We have seen him extremely protect the children. Remember, we lived in an area, you guys, that in all cities in the world, our city oscillated between the first and third most dangerous city in the entire world. It was daily that you could see bodies in the street. And I'll tell you, not one child, not one visitor or staff at the ranch or the school had been hurt or affected. The worst that happens, we got some stray bullets, and some of our kids saw some horrific things that we probably don't want to mention. But extreme protection. Even the guy that we hired to weld our front gate, right? They waited till it was done, and they blew his head off. You know? It's like, wow. but it didn't affect us. And then you also look at, as talking about God being extreme, you look at how he provided the means of salvation for us through the horrific death of his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, right? All right, to close, God speaks of widows and orphans a lot through the Word of God. But probably one of the most common scriptures that you and I are familiar with, of course, is James 1:27. And I am going to go there in this big letter Bible that I like so much. Your time is coming, buddy. Time is coming. Enjoy your youth. Enjoy your youth. I love this scripture. One, I also want this scripture to be an encouragement to you. Because in all seriousness, and I'm not just saying this because I'm here, but many times when I read through this scripture, I really think of this church. I really do, on visiting widows and orphans in their time of trouble. I think it's because we have the longest history together, but you guys do come to mind when I read this. So let's read James 1:27. Reads, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Another version reads, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. You guys, I thank God for you. I really do, on how you have demonstrated this. The example that the older generation is giving to the younger generation on how to care for the widow and the orphan is extraordinary. And it's impressive, honestly. And so I just thank you for not only the financial gifts, but for the prayers, for the time. I know Bruce and Judy and Jim and Helen had been on the board of the ranch for a very long time, giving of their time, their own expense to come out and meet and serve the ranch in such a deep way. And the talents that you guys have used, your God-given talents, have used to bless the children. I just want to say thank you. Even Sharon, she sends us notes pretty regularly, and I'll tell you guys, it is a highlight. I mean, really, my wife and I will come together, got a letter from Sharon, and we read it a couple few times. We read it to the staff to encourage them, and sometimes they're looking for the children. And wow, you know, I just want to say thank you for that, and all that you're doing right now. And so I just want to spend the last minute, since today we've already looked at the vulnerability of the children, of orphans and widows. We've looked at their need for assistance, right? We've looked at man's heart towards them, but more importantly, we looked at God's heart toward them and how we're supposed to treat them. So we've also learned that God uses folks like you and me to fulfill his promises that he made towards them. So what do we leave with today? What application can we have of this scripture, Psalms 68:5? How can we apply this to our own lives? And I wrote out a few ideas on how we can apply this scripture to our lives, but I would encourage you to even speak with Josh if you want to get if God's really stirring your heart, I would encourage you to talk to Pastor Josh. There are many ways, I believe, that we could take this verse and apply it to our lives. As you know, Scripture doesn't want us to be just hearers of the Word. He wants us to be what? Doers of the Word, right? So, of course, Mexico is not the only place in the world that has orphans, right? There might be fatherless children in this church right now. There are certainly fatherless children in Tonkawa, right? I would encourage you to seek out widows, seek out the single moms. I mean, I look at my wife caring for two little babies and how difficult that is. And wow, I mean, my wife is not one to ask for help unless she really needs it, right? And I'm even there to help her. She's not a single mom. I couldn't imagine how single moms can do it. And there's a lot you can do. Hey, I could pick your kids up from school, so you could work till whenever, hang out with them regularly, babysit to give her some mom time or alone time. There's supporting ministries like ours. There's helping foster families or parents that have adopted children, being a support to them, a help of them. There's a lot that you guys can do. And so I pray that we all leave encouraged and have a deeper understanding of this Psalm 68:5 and a desire to express God's heart in a practical way here where we are in this community. Let's pray. God, we are just once again amazed at your word and so grateful for it. Father, I pray that you would genuinely make us doers of your word. God, thank you for using this church in Tonkawa, Oklahoma, to be such a blessing, such a light to so many other churches around the country, to be an example of really your heart towards the widow and the orphan. So I pray that you bless them. I thank you for this time that we had together. Thank you, God, for the privilege of even speaking your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our elders can go ahead. We're going to go. So now's ministry time, so we're going to pray. So if you want to pray with an elder in response to the word specifically or any other prayer need, we're going to do that right now. But before we do that, I want to pray for you just one more time as a congregation. You need help. You need the Spirit's help. And so we want to pray for that. So, stretch your hands this way or do what you need. Father, we are asking for God the ranch. We're asking you to stretch out your hand again and again and again towards the leadership, God, the staff, the teachers, God, and these children. You are the defender. The widow, the orphan, care for them in their affliction. So we are asking, God, by your Spirit, God, even now as we're praying, the Spirit of God would fall on the ranch, God, that each child there, each staff member there would, man, 11:05 this morning, man, we just felt the Lord, felt his presence. God, we ask you for Dean, his family. God, we thank you that they're led by the Spirit. You told us that those who fear you have no lack. So we thank you that 3M has no lack. Dean and his family have no lack. God, everything they need, you provide for them. So would you do what you love to do, Dean? God, would you do what you love to do at the ranch? In the name of Jesus. Amen. So if anyone wants to come and pray now, our elders are